Welcome to the State of Florida Unemployment Office. Have a seat, please, if you will, have a seat. What is your last name?
Bow.
Your last name is Bow?
Yes.
And you're unemployed now, Mr. Bow?
Yes, I'm now unemployed. And I'm looking for a job.
Well, you've come to the right place, the State of Florida Unemployment Office. Mr. Bow, what is your first name?
Bow.
No, that's your last name. What is your first name?
It's Bow.
So your name is Bow Bow?
Yes, my name is Bow Bow.
And Mr. Bow, what did you do before you came to this office? Were you employed?
Yes, I was employed for 25 years.
25 years. And what did you do, Mr. Bow?
I was a circus clown for Ringling Brothers.
Why aren't you still a circus clown with Ringling Brothers, may I ask, Mr. Bow?
Because Ringling Brothers is shutting down. It will be no more. And I have been fired. I'm unemployed. I'm an unemployed circus clown.
Do you have any other skills, Mr. Bow?
No.
What field do you think you'd like to go into?
Computer software science.
Do you have any experience in computer software science, Mr. Bow?
No.
Well, tell me some of your talents, some of your abilities, and we'll see if we can match you and find you a job. What are some of your attributes?
I can accurately and successfully throw a pie.
Throw a pie?
Yes. I can really, really throw a good pie. I also have uncanny aim with a seltzer bottle.
I noticed that you have big floppy shoes and a rubber ball on your nose.
Yes. Yes. That's why I was thinking about something perhaps in the fashion industry.
You also have crazy orange hair for some reason.
Yes, I do. I thought I could work in the warehouse, or in the White House, or in some kind of house, something like that.
Mr. Bow, can I have your address?
I don't have one right now. We're going to do our final circus performance soon, and I travel throughout the country, and I live in a tent.
Do you have anybody that can vouch for you?
Yes. There's an elephant named Bessie who knows me really well and can vouch for me.
I'm not going to lie to you, Bow Bow, but it's going to be difficult to find you a job. Is there anyone that can support you in the meantime?
Well, yes. Actually, my girlfriend is actively seeking a job, too. She's also out of work. She also worked for the circus, but we're thinking of getting married.
Well, congratulations to you, Mr. Bo. What did she do in the circus?
She was the bearded lady. Granted, she's not all that attractive, but she throws a mean pie. We're engaged. We plan to be married next year if we can both find jobs.
Well, we'll be in touch with you with some prospects, hopefully.
I hope so. Because it's not easy. It's an expensive thing to get married, you know.
Well, why is that?
Well, for one, I have to buy her 3 rings.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'm embarrassed.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night.
It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours.
Thank you.
And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you here today. Did you enjoy that little silly opening? Did you like it in any way, shape, or form, perhaps a little bit? So anyway, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. I know. All right. Thank you very much. Welcome to the show. My name is Ron Van Dam. In case you don't know me, this is what I look like. I'm holding a picture of myself up to the microphone. What are you, blind? Oh, you are? I am so sorry. I do that all the time. I embarrass myself. How are you today? Good to see you. I mean, I can't, but anyway, good. I don't know. On the show today, we have two guests, one and then two. First of all, Kika Rocha will be joining. Oh, what a wonderful name, Kika Rocha. I think she's, I don't know if she's Italian or French. I can't put my finger on her. But Kika will be here. She's an attractive woman. That's not why she's on the show, because it's a radio show. What's the point? You know, Mother's Day is coming up, as I've said so many times. And it behooves you to pay attention to that holiday and to buy a card or flowers for somebody. I don't know. Anybody, any woman will do. Kika is in the perfume. Well, they don't call it perfumes anymore. They call it fragrances. That's so much more attractive. What are you wearing here? I'm wearing some perfume. You mean a fragrance? Yes, a fragrance. That's what I'm wearing. You know, in France, they call it eau de toilette. It's toilet water. It actually says it on the bottle. It says toilet water. I don't think that was a great marketing scheme. I don't think when you're in the perfume business and you want to present pleasant smells and odors to people for $500 a bottle, that you label it as toilet water. I don't really think that works. But for some reason in France, it's applicable. Toilet water, believe it or not, is less expensive than perfume. Well, who knew? So I guess a cheap way out would be to get an empty bottle or something, an empty glass bottle, plunge it into your toilet bowl, fill it up with toilet water. Obviously, I would flush first. Fill it up with toilet water, put the little cap on it, and give it to some lucky woman. It says toilet water on it. And she'll go, oh my God, how expensive was this? Pretty much just the cost of the empty bottle. The toilet water was free. Oh, you're so funny, Ron. You're so funny with your toilet water jokes. No, seriously. There's a little bit of me in that gift, by the way. Ugh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's supposed to be a gift. When you have a little something personal from yourself to the recipient, that's a personalized gift. And in that toilet water, there's a little bit of me in there. I can't tell you how, but when you open up the bottle and take a whiff, you'll understand. I'll be with you for a long time on your body. You won't be able to wash that smell off for years. Happy Mother's Day to you. Hey. So anyway, Kika Rocha will be, you don't even have to buy her stuff. Just say her name.
What did you get me?
Some Kika Rocha stuff. Oh, Kika Rocha. I have no idea who that is. Kika is actually quite big in the perfume industry. In the fragrance industry. She's really very talented, and she really does know what she's doing. She's going to be with us a little bit later in case you're thinking about getting a Mother's Day gift that is in the fragrance category. And now the category is fragrances. And then also today, we're going to be speaking to a person who shall remain anonymous. She actually has a food addiction, and she goes to Food Addiction or Eaters Anonymous. There is such a thing. And many of us and you and people you know don't know when to stop eating. And you can tell. It's a serious problem. I'm not kidding you. It really is. It's an addiction. It's like cocaine. It's like sugar. Sugar is cocaine. I don't know if you know that, but it is the same addictive qualities that drugs have, food has, especially sugared food. The carbs, the sugar things, the sweets, your brain craves it. And we're going to speak to somebody about that. She has changed her name for this interview coming up, and we will talk to her. Do you find that to be somewhat of a fascinating program today? I think it will be. So stick with me, will you, please? Can you stick with me? Can you at least do that? I don't ask a lot of you. You don't have to pay for this. It's free. So what's the problem with you?
You're listening to The Big Show by Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it, too. But sometimes he says bad words.
I don't say bad words very often, believe me. So I'm sitting in this bar. That's it. It's the end of the story. That's pretty much it. I got nothing after that. It's where a lot of my adventures begin and end. So I'm sitting in this bar, and yes, Ron, what happens? Nothing really. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you. It just happened to be sitting there, that's all. I don't really like bars anymore. You know what I like? Cocktail lounges. I like cocktail lounges. Bar is such a blue-collar, plebeian kind of event. Cocktail lounge, oh yeah. Cocktail lounge. That's got some class to it. That's where the bartenders dress up just a little bit. And that's where people that go in there, they're business people, they're professional people. They know what they're doing when they sit in a cocktail lounge. And there's usually music in the background, soft music, but very, very elegant music. And people are walking around with little towels over their arm. You know, it's classy stuff. And people can actually order martinis. Now, people don't order martinis in bars. It's like if you say to a bartender, I'd like a martini, please. The bartender will usually respond by saying, I'm sorry. That's something that I can't open up with a can opener or a bottle opener. And it doesn't just pour right out of the bottle like one of your cheap wines. So martini, I'm sorry, I don't know. All right, how about a Manhattan? What the hell are you talking about? What do you want? What are you saying? Why are you just naming cities now? That's a bar. A bar is when you look up and on the TV, it's always some type of sporting event. A cocktail lounge, it's usually CNN or something like that or a news station. That's the difference. That's the difference. The glassware is also a difference. In a cocktail lounge, everything is elegant. The glasses are beautiful. They're perfectly, perfectly clean. In a bar, I can't. Who cares? what's the point? In a bar, people are there using curse words in their conversation, arguing and talking real loud. In bars, people talk real loud. Hey, Bob, I want to tell you a secret. I want to tell you a secret, Bob. In a cocktail lounge, people whisper. It's great to see you today. It's been a tough day at work today, yeah. I don't know, Bob. I'll tell you a little secret. Come here. I don't have any genitals. No. See, in a bar, hey, Bob, guess what? I got no balls. That's the difference between the two. Just in case you didn't know, you should know that. You should know that. You should know mathematics, because you should add things up. A little bit of history is always good to know, you know, that kind of thing. You should know English, you know, how to read and how to write and all that kind of stuff. And you should know the difference between a bar and a cocktail lounge. Those, I know, you get those things down pat. And I'm not just talking to you, Pat. I'm talking to everybody. By the way, how'd they get the term a pat of butter? Was there a guy named Pat who said, I just want a small slice of butter from the stick of butter. I don't want a chunk. I just want a small little slither about the size of a chiclet or something like that. All right, Pat, how big do you want that? Just take a knife and slice off the end of the bar of butter there, the stick of butter. And yeah, that's a nice, nice size, just enough to butter my toast and no waste whatsoever.
Well, that's an amazing idea, Pat. Wow. I guess you would say I just gave you a pat of butter.
Well, my God, yes. And I don't believe this guy, Pat, ever got royalties on it. People have been slicing little pieces of butter their whole lives, and Pat didn't get a cent for it. By the way, did you notice that my voice for Pat is very similar to Bobo the Clown? Mm-hmm. Because I don't do too many voices. No, I don't. I don't do a lot of voices. And all my foreign accents sound like we're all Jewish. Yeah. Did you come over from another country?
Yes, I did. I was on the boat for a week, and we toiled and we sat in the hull of the boat. And then we arrived at Ellis Island in New York, and we were processed, and I've been living here ever since. I'm an immigrant, yes.
I'm very limited in my voices. So don't hold that against me. Or do, I don't really care one way or the other. Ladies and gentlemen, let's speak to our first guest. We're going to do so right after this very short commercial word. Listen very, very carefully. It's a great, it's beautiful.
It's like every burger joint that I go to is like, your cheese lover's burger, your bacon lover's burger, your burger lover's burger. What's a guy to do if you just love lettuce?
Well, you're in luck, because Burger Guy is proud to introduce the new Lettuce Extreme. A quarter of a quarter pound of succulent beef piled high with cool, crisp lettuce, iceberg, romaine, bib. It's a lettuce lover's dream, and it's only at Burger Guy.
Thanks, Burger Guy. Now I know where to go to get my lettuce on.
At participating Burger Guy locations for a limited time only. Supersize it with our metric ton of fries and keg of soda for just 12 cents extra. Price, participation, quality, condition, variety, and availability of lettuce may vary.
Do you ever sit around your house and you're just totally bored and you're watching TV and all you do is eat? You just have to occupy yourself somehow, so you eat. That might be like a mental thing. For some people, it's a serious problem, and they're addicted to sugar, which puts weight on. It's a big deal. A lot of people suffer from it and they don't even realize it. So we thought we would explore this today, because sugar is a new cocaine. There's no question about it. Madeline joins us now. We're talking about Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous and the illness of food addiction and the possibility of recovery. And she joins us now. Hi, Madeline. Good to speak to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Good to be on the show. Thank you.
This is a subject matter that a lot of people have concern about, but they don't talk about it to other people. They kind of keep this concern to themselves because it is an addiction, and sometimes addictions are embarrassing, I suppose. Do food addicts know that they have a problem, or is it yet to be realized by most?
I think it's, for me, it was a personal issue. I knew from a young age I had a very different relationship with food than my family members or my friends.
Uh-huh.
It was the most important thing in my life from a young child.
Right. It's important to me, too, and I don't know, how much it is. To be honest with you, I do enjoy eating. I get excited about it. I plan my meals earlier in the day. I don't eat constantly, but it's one of the joys of life. I don't know how bad that is to have food being one of the joys of life.
Well, again, for me, I reached a point where I couldn't stop. And that's the problem. And if I did stop for any period of time during the day, it was constantly on my mind.
I see.
Yeah, I mean, if I was in a social situation and I just ate a meal, all I thought about was getting home and eating more.
I understand.
I was never really present. I was just thinking about food constantly. That's
so,
the problem.
So it would be similar to the cravings of someone who enjoyed their drug or someone who enjoyed their alcohol.
It is a drug. It actually is a drug. It's not recognized. It's starting to get recognized,
yes.
the flour and the sugar, but not as, it doesn't have as much validity, I don't think, now as, heroin or alcohol or whatever.
Right. Madeline, can the addiction be like someone who doesn't want to stop eating salads, or that usually isn't what the addiction's about?
It doesn't have to be one particular food, you know. I mentioned flour and sugar because they have proven to
be they're addictive. Yes.
They're addictive.
Yes, they are. They are.
But it's that sense of just that constant thinking about food and how am I going to get it and is there going to be enough and will I run out and it's an obsession. It's just an obsession.
Is a lot of it the feeling of utilizing your body, the motion of eating, in other words, when you're not eating, is one tapping their hands? Is it the activity as much as it is the sensation?
I think it's more emotional eating than physical. It's more emotional.
Yeah.
You know, there's something missing, so you try a salty food and that's not enough. Then you try a sweet food and that's not doing it. And then you try a crunchy food and that's not doing it.
Yeah. My assumption is that you in particular representing this concern, you're in a better place now, I assume.
I have. Basically, my life is the same as it was 25 years ago. I've been doing this now for 25 years, which in itself is a testimony that this works.
Good.
It's the same. I live in the same home. I have the same husband. I have the same family, and yet my life is totally different. I appreciate my life today. I get up in the morning looking forward to the day and not...
Good.
I used to get up in the morning and be afraid to open my eyes because I knew I was going to eat all day long.
Yeah. So may I ask, how did you overcome this?
Well, I got introduced to another 12-step program, and through that I heard about, we weren't always food addicts in recovery. We used to be part of Overeaters Anonymous, and I got introduced to that, and I went to my first meeting, and I don't know, I just saw people that were content and calm and happy and joyous and free. I don't know, they just enjoyed their lives. They lived for the moment. They enjoyed the moment they were in, and that wasn't my story. So I had tried everything else known to man to lose the weight, and I couldn't do it.
Right.
I couldn't sustain it.
Right.
And so I figured, well, my way's not working. Let me try this way. And a day at a time, one day at a time, it worked. And I'm here 25 years, and I'm maintaining 160-pound weight loss.
Wow. Great.
Thank you. So it works. That's the message. It works.
Is it the support group that was instrumental?
Yes, it's tremendously instrumental. Mm-hmm. If an issue comes up and you feel overwhelmed, you just pick up the phone and you make a phone call to to any one of us.
Wow.
And we sort of, we walk us each other through it, and instead of picking up the bike, you pick up the phone.
Did you require any type of therapy or not?
No. Oh, no, no, no.
Oh,
no.
Wow. That's great. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And it's free. And it's
I know. But Madeline, you know, it, as weak as you thought you were, it's amazing how much discipline and strength you actually had.
Yeah, well, who knew? It was buried underneath the food and the fat.
Yeah, because to be able to do that yourself, I mean, you had a support group, but it was still a support group supporting you yourself, and not to go through any kind of therapy or anything was, you're strong. Yeah. That's a strong person.
Yeah, you really don't know, you know, you don't know your own strength until you get everything else out.
Yeah, it's kind of about like finding your inner strength with the support of others. That's pretty cool. Man, that says it all. And I know that there are a lot of people listening who can hook up exactly with what you just said and go through the same things. Maybe not 24/7 like you, but certainly in certain circumstances, they take a nosedive to food.
Well, you take baby steps. You know, you don't start out doing what I do in a day or what any of us do in a day. And you start out with these, you know, one step at a time, baby steps. We have a website, and I think any question anybody would have can be answered on that website.
Okay. Well, tell me what the website is and how to make
those
contacts.
The website is foodaddicts.org.
Okay, perfect. Foodaddicts.org.
.org. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and there's meetings all literally now all over the world, which is amazing.
And it's called Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous. Because there's no reason to make yourself known. It's just connecting to other people. And it is, it's wonderful. So good to talk to you and to hear that kind of story. And hopefully you've helped other people as well.
I hope so. If I helped one person today, I've done my job.
I think you did your job today pretty well. Foodaddicts.org. Thank you so much, Madeline. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. Okay, welcome back. All right, are you ready for her? Here she is, Kika Rocha. Hi, Kika.
Hello, good morning.
Good to talk to you again.
Thank you. Same here.
Maria Francesca Kika Rocha is a fashion and beauty expert. She joins us now because Mother's Day is coming up pretty soon, and it's always nice to get a little gift for mom anyway. So what ideas do you have in mind?
Well, Ron, one of the most classic ideas that is always welcome is fragrance. And then when we think of fragrances that contain flowers, then we're tying two birds in one stone, because flowers are also a great alternative. But the thing is that flowers, you receive them, you enjoy them, and then they wither within a week. But if you capture those flowers, maybe some of your mother's special flowers within a bottle, and it's a fragrance that she can wear all year round, and it will always make her happy. And then it's also something special that reveals a lot about a woman's personality. And for me, it's one of those invisible accessories that you always, always have to wear to make a difference.
Yes, and everybody has their own smell, right? Smell is not the proper word. Fragrance. I'm sorry.
Exactly. So I have the different and beautiful options here that incorporate from wild flowers to the classic roses, and that says a lot about the women who's going to wear them, and the scent is very important. So if you want, we can maybe go over some of the ideas that I have, and that can give ideas and inspiration for those who are planning on going out there and buying. And then the best thing is that most of these fragrances are under 100, and it's a great gift that will last a long, long time.
Okay.
And it's also very special, and the bottles are always beautiful, beautiful too. It's just
before
a pleasure to the eyes and to the senses.
So how would I know what fragrances my mother likes? Would I find out what her favorite flower is? How would I go about doing
that? Exactly. Oh. If she knows, if you know right away, for example, let's think about roses. Roses are such a classic. And most of her moms are very classic, too. They love roses. They love peonies.
Yeah.
That classic flowery smell that is so elegant and so beautiful. So for them, if you know that they love roses and peonies, I have a great option. And it's a classic fragrance by Chloe, the Eau de Parfum. And it has, again, as I was mentioning, magnolias, freesia, roses, and peonies. And it's a beautiful, beautiful fragrance that you can never go wrong when it comes to pleasing your mother if she's very classic. When you think about something more sensual, something more exotic, I would suggest Euphoria by Calvin Klein. And this is very special notes, black orchids, and it has lotus blossoms. But it also has a little bit of pomegranate. So it's not a very sweet fragrance or very, very floral. Mm-hmm. So this is another great option. And then again, you see it's a completely different personality and a different flower. Huh. If you think about something another flower that I love and that are a mom's love and such a classic of the springtime, it would be the lily of the valley or the Casablanca lily. And I have two options right there. The first one with the lily of the valley would be L'Eau Bleu by Miu Miu. And then I have Gucci Bamboo that has the Casablanca lily and then a scent of vanilla also. So you see, this is something different again, and another alternative for a completely different type of personality. And then the last one that I have here to talk about is Daisy by Marc Jacobs. It's a beautiful bottle. I wish you could see it. It's a classic limited edition, absolutely beautiful. And then you think of Daisy and you say, well, but daisies don't have smell. And of course, but it's just the spirit of the daisy that makes it like a wild option and beautiful and like a free-spirited option. But what it has inside is white flowers like white violets and jasmine, another one of my favorites. So it's a very fresh fragrance that also has berries. And then you see, we've been talking about wildflowers, classic roses, exotic orchids, lilies, and then they all come down to give the fragrances like a very special personality. And all these options, as I told you, are $75, $100 or less. And you can find most of them at Macy's, your local Macy's, Macy's.com. And then for the Lily of the Valley, the one that has Miu Miu, the L'Eau Bleu, that one you could check your local Sephora.
Wow. Well, you said it all. There you have it.
I enjoy giving, and don't forget that with the gift has to come a special hug to that very special person in your life.
Of course. And then, well, if you hug them, then you can really get the fragrance off of them. So that's good. I think my mother would like a fragrance called Martini, but that's different.
Oh, right? Dear. But that one.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year.
Okay. Kiki, thanks so much for talking to
us. Thank you. It's nice to talk to you always.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Kiki. Bye-bye. I called her Kiki by mistake. At the end, it's Kika. All right, that's enough. That's enough of that foolishness. But it's not foolish. It's perfume. You know, men wear perfume. It's called, you know what it's called, cologne. Father's Day is a whole other thing. There's nothing to get for the father. Unless the guy's into sports, you know, and you get him a baseball cap or something, it's either a tie, and most guys don't wear ties anymore, which is a lost art. So it's the cologne, and most guys don't wear cologne. They've got a collection of about 43 bottles of cologne tucked away in a drawer somewhere from all the other Father's Day things and gift things, which they never wear. I don't know. Although there's something alluring about a woman with a scent. You know? A woman walks by and there's that sweet perfume permeating the air, and you stop for a second. You go, "Oh, wow." It makes it sexy. I don't know. I don't have that. If a guy walks by and has a fragrance on him, I don't know if the reaction is always positive. No, I don't think it is. Oh, they say it is, but it's not. And of course, equal to toilet water for women would be what they call aftershave for men. You splash something on, it gives you a little odor on your face, and it burns the hell out of your skin. But it's called aftershave, and it's supposed to be refreshing. It's not. It burns the hell out of your face. Kids, I'm out of time for today, quite obviously, but I'll be back again tomorrow. That's kind of a warning for you. I hope that you join me then, because my success is based upon your listenership. If you know anybody at all, tell them about this show and tell them to listen to it. It's how I get paid. I feel like a beggar standing on a median strip somewhere in front of a mall asking you for money. But you don't have to pay me. All you have to do is listen, and I get paid by somebody else. It's a wonderful world. I wish you peace. By the way, if you've tuned into the show to get the daily lottery numbers, I don't have them. I don't know what they are. And I don't care.
Big finish, everybody. Big finish. Here we go.